So, you know, if you ever ask, you know, someone like, what's the best you've got, you know? Like, if I ask you guys, what do you think is the best I've got? You know, if I went benching and we went competing, what do you think? Come on. You're lucky I don't have a cup of water this time. 170. What, do I look small to you? Now we're talking. Come on, give me a little bit higher than that. Why are you guys laughing at that? Huh? Okay, if I went and if I went against Max, who do you think is gonna?
You.
These guys know what they're talking about. Okay, it's good. Sorry, Max. You know we gotta speak the truth. All right. So, you know, it's the best you've got. You know, everyone is limited. Johnny's right. It's 45, but on each side. Okay. So, that's probably as Max. I don't do Max. I don't know how much, because I don't want to embarrass myself. I always say I'm just toning, okay? So I put light weights and do a lot of it so I can look good. Anyway, I've actually in weightlifting in the past, I'm not, you know, I'm too much, a lot wiser now. You know, I went once and I didn't have someone to spot me. Don't do that. Not this. And I got stuck here and I was like, Lord, what do I do? I'm going to die. This thing is going to come on my neck. But with God, you tell him, Lord, God, give me the best that you've got. What is the strongest thing you've got? You guys know what that is? You guys better know this because we've talked about it. What is it? What's the best, the strongest power of God that he showed us? His power.
Resurrection,
right? And where do you find that? The Bible. Mark, you guys are horrible. I know we read in Mark, so it's a good guess, but we've shared it. Where? John, Matthew. We're going to go through all the books, aren't we? All right, Ephesians. Let's open up Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding... So exceeding is already a lot, right? Greatness, that's even greater, right? Of what? His power. So he said, you want to go look at God's strongest, this is where you go. Where is it? It's the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. It happened in our salvation. When did this happen? Well, he's telling us when our salvation happened. According to the working of his mighty power. Not just power, his mighty power. And these words, if you go into the Greek, it's talking about like dynamite. It's talking about really powerful stuff. And he says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The power of his resurrection. Do you want to know God at his best? You want to know God at his strongest? Not in creation. That was just a word, man. But you want to see him powerful. You go to the resurrection and him being raised and he's seated in the heavenlies and then he took us and seated us in the heavenlies. Like the pastor shared, it's not a miracle for Christ to resurrect. It's a miracle for him to die actually. The Lord of life to die, that is crazy. And for him to resurrect is not a miracle. But for us, the sinners that we are, to be raised with him, that's unbelievable. That is amazing. So what's on my heart is to share the power of his resurrection. Some things that should do in us and God wants to do in our lives because of the power of his resurrection. The Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices. Do you guys know, is this at this time, is this light or dark? Out. I heard both. Good. There's no other choices. So let's vote in the middle. There's no middle. Light or dark? Raise your hand. Light, raise your hand. So raise your hand if you say light. Be proud of it. Don't get embarrassed if I embarrass you. All right. If you say dark, raise your hand. It was dark. All right. Here's why. The Sabbath ended once the sun goes down on Saturday. And so here, who went out on the Sabbath to buy spices? Just Mary Magdalene? Darlene? Who's Darlene? I've never heard of Darlene in the Bible. What are you guys talking about? Huh? Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. Then after that, verse 2 is very early in the morning. That's afterward. So verse 2 is something that happened later. So they went and bought the spices. So that's a good point. So very, very smart. So that's why the confusion is actually good. That's why I asked the question. But here it happened that these three ladies went out, or at least the ones that are documented to us here, three ladies, two of them, they have a name of what? Mary. And the other one is Salome. And here they went out and when it's dark. Is it safe for a lady to walk out in the dark? Not in the United States of America. I'm talking about in the Middle East, man. Huh? See? So the reason I say this is on Friday, Juan David shared with me a story, and it's really amazing. His aunt was walking, and it was dark, right? His aunt was walking, and it was dark, and then suddenly in Ecuador, and then Ecuador, right? And so two guys were coming, approaching her, and then she looks behind, and then one guy came to approach her from the back, and then he started walking faster. She says, "I'm done. They'll rape, they'll rip you off, they'll kill you, there's no mercy there. It's known for crime." And so then the guy kept going, came and got closer, closer, closer to her, and then he held her from her arm. She turned around and she said, "In the name of Jesus, you're not going to hurt me." And then the guy kind of got paused like this and then said like that to the other two guys. The other two guys ran away and he left her and she was safe. It's not safe to do this. So here, what is this? What's happening here? These people, they want to go visit Jesus, right? Is Jesus alive or dead? Dead, right? So they want to go visit him. And at the first opportunity that they have to be able to go buy stuff is when? At this time. Because the Sabbath, they can't do anything. They can't go buy. They can't go do any business. And so this shows us what? That these people, they have dedication, right? And not just that. It has sacrifice. In order to buy spices, what do you need to have? Money. Now, let me tell you this. Imagine, I'm dead. Why are you guys smiling? Why are you happy about that? Huh? What's wrong with you guys? I'm going to poke a hole here. So imagine I'm dead. Fine. You could smile. So imagine I'm dead and you go and buy me spices. Is that really a waste of money? I could tell. No, but you're right. No, I totally agree. That's what I'm trying to get out of this. Is why waste your money on me, man? I'm dead. You're not going to make me happier or sad. I'm dead. I don't care if you go put some cologne on me or if you put some spices or if you put even, you know, bad things on me. It's not going to matter. I am dead, right? So if when I die, okay, I'll share with you what I would like so you can share it with my wife because she doesn't let me share this. So here's what I would like for my burial. Be very cheap when it comes to burying me. Don't waste money. But invite as many people as possible to come to my funeral and evangelize to them. Tell them about Jesus Christ and for salvation, okay? Please. And that's it. And if you're going to have a reception, only do it if you're going to evangelize there. If you're not, don't waste your money on evangelism. But here these people went to buy spices, which is not very cheap, for what? A dead man. This shows sacrifice. And so what I want to try to get at is some of us, we feel, Lord, we love you so much, we're willing to sacrifice for you. But they didn't just sacrifice. So they sacrificed their lives. They went out at night when it's dangerous. And they went out and paid money to pay for Jesus. So that shows their sacrifice. The second thing they did is that they, what did they want to do with it? That they might come and anoint him. And here this shows their love and their honor for Jesus. And so maybe some of us here, we really love Jesus. I mean, come on, seriously. How many people do you find on Easter Sunday? They'll stick around till 4:30. It doesn't happen. You know, Easter is this thing like in America, not just America, and many other places in the world. It's like, let's go to church early to a sunrise service so we can get this thing over with and then go ahead. And then some people, that's the only time they come to church, or twice, that and Christmas, and that's about it. And let's go and get our own little, you know, ham or whatever it is that people do for that. Not too many people come that. So if you're here, you probably are like this. You're a type that you see Jesus so amazing that you sacrifice for him. And you see Jesus is worth it. They say, I want to be here to honor him. And that's what they did. They did not want to just get spices just for fun. They wanted to come that they might come and anoint him. The third thing is very early in the morning. So they bought it. They went to bed. They got up very early in the morning. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, on Sunday, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. This shows what their excitement for Jesus, to come and see him and honor him. And that's why they couldn't wait. They said, just when the sun is up, we're going to go so we can get to go to this place to go and anoint him, because we need the sun to help us out. Right, very early in the morning they went there. And maybe you're excited when you come to meet Jesus, when you come to see him, and maybe you have this this attitude and this desire toward him. But it didn't stop there. These women are amazing. None of the guys did this stuff. And then the next thing that they did, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, we have a problem. It's actually a big problem. What is it? Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? Who's going to roll it? It's impossible. Can these three women, if they put all the effort, push the stone away? No, they can't. They don't have the power, the capability. Do you think if they went over there and said, hello, soldiers, I am Mary. Not his mother, Magdalene. I was demon-possessed. Be careful. I had 7 demons. And I am Mary, the mother of James. And I am Salome. Not Salami, Salome. We would like you to please roll this stone. We'd like to visit him. Do you think they're going to? No. This is a highly classified body. You don't go visit Jesus. You go visit anyone else, not Jesus. The stone is rolled. It is sealed. They're afraid of someone to steal the body. It's just not going to happen. Even though they know this, they know the soldiers are not just going to be like, oh yeah, let's be nice to them and let's do it. They know that it's impossible to do this. They still went ahead. They paid the money for an impossible mission. They got up early for an impossible mission. They got together to go to an impossible mission. And on their way, they're like, oh yeah, there's a problem. As they're walking, they're talking about the problem. And that problem did not stop them from continuing to go, to walk toward that tomb, to go meet that Jesus so that they may anoint him and honor him in their life. Seriously, how many of us, when we have a little problem come our way, it's like, out the door. Come on, have you ever got up? I'm excited, Lord, to come meet you and fellowship with the believers in church. And then as you get up, you're like, oh, the throat hurts. I don't want to get anyone sick, so I'm just not going to go. Or you get in the car, and as you're walking to the car, someone just, you know, gets your excitement, turns you off, you know. Like, have you ever met those people, man? You could be like, whew. And then it's just one word, man. It's like, ah, you're dead. It's like, come on, how do I go from here? Can you do that to me, you know? And then that's it. My mood is off. I'm not going to church. Or it starts raining. Oh, no. I get my hair wet. Do you know what I did for this? You know, I curled it. And my eyelashes. And my makeup is going to smear. Or whatever it is that. But these ladies, they went on mission impossible. And then they said the impossibility of it. Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? Us. We know we can't do it, but we need someone to roll it, and they continue to go on their way. Then comes the power of the resurrection. The first thing that Jesus wants to do by the power of his resurrection in our lives is found in verse 4. But when they looked up, they asked a question. They said, Lord, it's an impossible mission. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. They're talking about it. They're talking about that big problem. Who will roll it? The stone is still there. They look up. It's not someone started to roll it, or, oh, there goes that guy. He looks like he can help us roll it. It's already been rolled away. Why? Because I've seen how you approach me, Christ says. I've seen your love, your sacrifice, your dedication, your honor. I've seen what you've done. You went and you bought spices at a dangerous time. You went and you came up early. You didn't delay. You didn't just say, I'm going to just sleep in today because it's vacation. You came early to meet me, to come and see me where I'm at. You came despite the problem, and your purpose for coming was to anoint me, to make me king, to come and honor me in your life. So I want you to know your problem that is not just a small problem, but it's a huge problem for it was very large. The stone was very large. I want you to know that that problem not will roll away. It's been rolled away already. The first thing that the Lord wants to do is He wants to take away any impossibility out of our life. He wants to roll it away from us. He wants to take away. I don't know what's the big stone in your life. I don't, what is it? What is it really that you know, you and I desire to live for the Lord, and we have all these good desires, but this thing is just, we're still holding on to it. This thing is still a barrier to us and in our walk with God. What is it? Just come to Him. Continue to walk. Continue to head, and God will remove it, and He will roll away that big stone from your life and my life. The power of His resurrection. We come to God many times and we pray to Him about big stones in our life. And we think we're praying in faith. We think we're giving it to the Lord. And many times that's what it looks like on the outside, but on the inside it's not so. In Acts chapter 12, we don't have time to look at it. It said that after James was beheaded, then Peter was taken and he was put into 16 soldiers watching him. Four doors that he had to go through to get out of his inner prison. And it says 16 soldiers, and then Peter's like, this stuff doesn't scare me. Dude, he's serious. He beheaded your friend, the guy who used to be your co-business partner in your fishing before. And you're the top guy, and he really is excited to kill you. He says, no, I'm just going to take a nap. I wouldn't be able to take a nap if I'm in his. He says, you know how big was his nap? Ew, he was in deep sleep that the angel had to hit him to wake him up. He was asleep. You know why he didn't care? Because he had a promise from the Lord in the Gospel of John at the last chapter. The Lord told him that when you're old, someone is going to guard you. He says, I'm not old, so I can't die. So, blah, 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 blah. Herod, you can't do nothing. You can't touch me. Forget you, man. So he went. He was asleep. The angel came. It's all shiny. And then nothing happened to him. Imagine you're in a dark room and suddenly like they flash this thing. This thing gives me a headache after I'm done. These strong lights. Can you imagine someone shines like that, but it's an angel. It's probably way stronger than this. Now I can't see. I looked at it. So, yeah, nothing happened to him. He's like, man, this guy does it. What kind of deep sleep is this? He's just not afraid. And it hits him, wakes him up. He's like, oh, I'm in a dream. This is cool, man. He's like, get up, put on your slippers. All right. He walks. And then he goes. And then it says that when he went out into the next block, and then he's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is for real. And then he went out and did. But the thing is, when he was in jail, it says that the church prayed for him fervently. And then when he went and knocked, Rhoda, it's Peter. She walked in there. And she said, it's Peter. They're like, please be quiet. We're having a prayer meeting here that Peter may come out of jail. She's like, yes, he answered your prayer. He's outside. She's like, no, no, please be quiet. I thought you're praying fervently. Don't you believe what God has done? No, listen, she wouldn't stop. She's like, they're like, we know what it is. No, he is out there. It's his ghost. Ghost, what are you talking about? No, he's outside. And she just disrupted that prayer meeting because she says, you don't need to pray about this anymore. It has been fulfilled. And many times we have big stones in our life. And we come before God and we say, Lord, I pray about this and I put it in your hands and I trust you to roll it. But we're like that early church, the first church. Pray fervently for something, yet when God does it, we're shocked. When God answers, we are shocked. God wants to roll away whatever that big stone is in your life. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a barrier in your life. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But He knows what it is, and you know what it is. and he wants to roll it away by the power of his resurrection. That's the first thing. The second thing that he wants to do is in verse 5, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man. So here, we're like, wow, this is exciting. We didn't have to ask anyone. It's already rolled away. So entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Like, whoa, this angel was sitting there and on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, he started the conversation, do not be alarmed. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, they didn't have to ask him. They didn't have to say, oh, yeah, yeah, we're seeking. He said, I know why you're here. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen! Exclamation mark. He's really alive. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Look, look, I'm not kidding. Look right here. There's nothing. He's not here. He's risen. The second thing that Christ wants to give us by the power of his resurrection, not only does he want to say, whatever your problem is, no matter how big it is, I want you to know it's so easy for me to just roll it. Just come in faith and have desire and be fervent when you come toward me. Come and honor me in your life and watch me roll away stone after next, no matter how large they are. You guys remember that in Zechariah, we shared this a few weeks ago, that he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a what? Plain. Gone. Plain means what? He didn't crush it. He took the whole mountain away. A mountain. He didn't roll a stone. He took away a mountain. Why don't you come to him by, not by might, not by power, but come by his spirit. And say, Lord, I trust you to deal with my problems. But I'm going to be excited about you. I'm going to be excited to love you and to live for you. I'm going to be excited to sacrifice for you. I don't care if it's dark. I don't care if I'm alone. I just love you, Lord. The second thing that the Lord wants to say to do to us by the power of his resurrection is he wants to give us good news. He said, you came to visit Jesus who's what? Alive or dead? Dead. No, they came to visit a dead Lord. They're going to anoint a risen Lord? That's weird. With spices? You put that on a dead body. He says, you came, you had love, but you came to a Lord who's dead. Your Lord is not that kind of Lord. He is a risen Lord. He wants to give you good news. He wants to tell you that you don't follow someone who's dead. Do you guys know that that is the only, if someone ever asks you, so what's the big deal? You know, you Christians, you say that you're the only way and whatever. Why, any way, any road can lead to heaven. Just, it's just how do you approach God? You guys are no different than anyone else. I'm like, I'm offended. You know, everyone else gets offended, so we should pretend to be offended. Like, I'm offended, man. I'm different than you. You know, these people are crazy, man. Everyone gets offended with something so they can, you know, get people to apologize to them. Say, I'm offended by that. I'm not the same as you. My God is different. How? Whatever it is that you find, tell me your leader. Is he in a grave or is he alive? In a grave. Not mine. Not mine. We're very different. It's called the power of the resurrection. Good news. God wants to give you good news. God doesn't want to just take away problems from your life, but he wants to do good in your life. He wants to give you good news. The third thing that he wants to do comes after that. It says that in verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. What's the third thing that he wants to do by the power of his resurrection? After he rolls away our problem and after he gives us good news and gives joy to our heart, what's the third thing? Tell people. What kind of people? So, his followers. So tell the believers, right? Right? Tell the sinners? No. He didn't say that, right? So, keep that thought though. So here, the third thing that he wants to do is he wants us to go and share with the believers. But what kind of believers? Strong believers, right? It says, go tell his disciples and Peter. And here he went, and he went straight for who? For Peter. Why, Peter? Why? Huh? He denied him three times. Do you think Peter feels bad? Oh, yeah. Do you think Jesus loves Peter? Oh, yeah. So he says, you go and you say a general message and then a specific message in front of everyone. You tell the disciples and you, Peter, he loves you. He cares about you. Remember what he told you? He prayed for you that your faith would not fail. He said, tell the disciples and Peter that he, Jesus, he's risen. He is going before you into Galilee. He's already there. Just get there. He's meeting. He's already over there. There you will see him as he said to you. He's a living God. He's a true God. When he says something, he's going to do it. He said you're going to see him in Galilee, so get over there so you can see him. He wants you to see him. The third thing is he wants us to go out, as it says to Timothy, be an example to the sinners. Is that what Paul told him in 1 Timothy 4? No, it says be an example to the believers in conduct, love, and then he named a bunch of things. First, he says, go to the believers and be an example to them. Go to the believers and you yourself live the power of the resurrection in front of them, that they may be empowered by that. You know, it's amazing. I really love Philippians. I love every part, but Philippians, Paul went to jail. And then he said, me being in jail, this is like the weird, I'm like, you read it, you're like, is this guy normal? Like, seriously. He's in jail, and he says, this has been good that he's in jail because it has been for the furtherance of the gospel. No, seriously. Okay, let me say it again. It is good that I am in jail because it is good for the furtherance of the gospel. What's furtherance of the gospel? Spreading. And he's in jail. Does he have, like, Facebook? No. Does he have even a phone? No, he's got nothing. But yes, he's got a captive audience. But how is that? So, okay, so I am in jail in Rome. How big is my audience? It's as much as the jailees and the jail. It's not huge. And then they're all stuck here with me. How is that furtherance of, you're crazy, Paul. He says, no. This is for the furtherance. Usually I would complain, Lord, it doesn't make sense. Lord, you called me to go to the Gentiles. Why am I stuck in here? I would be much more effective outside of my jail, telling everyone and going everywhere where you told me. Now I am captive. I am chained. I am stuck in one place. It doesn't make sense. He says, no, this is crazy. This is amazing. Why? He says, because of me being in jail and not being afraid and saying the word of God, it has made the believers bold. And so it made them go out everywhere else. He says, but if I was out there doing everything, these believers would be staying asleep. He says, but they saw the boldness and the lack of fear, and they can't touch me. They started sharing the word of God. Here, that's what is the third thing. He says, go to the believers, encourage them. Say, get off your chair, man. Get off your chair and let other believers be excited about the Lord. Sometimes we come to church and we get too churched, where it's like, how was your day? It's awesome. What did you do? I went to church. The usual meeting? Oh, yeah. What did you get out of it? Well, the same old thing. You know, we sang. Where did you read from? In the Bible. Really. He's alive. Go out and let your life be salty. Imagine you take a cup of salt. What do you want to do right after that? You want to gush some water, man. Be salty. Let people be thirsty for Jesus. Believers, make them so thirsty for Jesus when they come in contact with you that they fall in love with him, that they live that power. God is much more effective when it's just not just one of us, but when a lot of us get excited about Jesus Christ. That's the third thing that he did. And look at the weird thing that happened. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What? That is... He just made a useless point. You said go and tell the believers. Did they tell the believers? Did they or not? Are you guys reading with me? It's too early to sleep. Come on, read with me. Yeah, show me. Did I say something that, yeah? No, don't read in the Bible. Open up your Bible. I see it's closed, man. You're tricking me. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Did they say anything? So they didn't say anything? All right, Matthew chapter 28. You fell for it. All right. Hey, I made you doubt. So Matthew 28, verse 8. So they went out quickly. It's not them, really? Okay, let's look from verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Okay? And then behold, a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning. Verse 4, and the guards shook for fear of him. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, those women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Sounds like what we just read, right? He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Sounds just like what we just read, right? It's the same incident. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Same thing. It's exactly the same story. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And then as they're going, they're like, oh, I'm so excited to tell him. And they're like, no, no, I'm not going to say anything. That's when Mark comes in, and that's the part he tells us. He said nothing to any of them until something happened. They're like, that's just an angel that talked to us, and he just showed us an empty tomb. But then Jesus said, I need to empower you to still speak. And he says, I'm going to have a one-on-one meeting with you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying. They probably thought, we're not going to say anything. They're going to say we're a bunch of women. They're not going to listen to us. He said to them, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. First word that Jesus says, rejoice, I'm alive. I'm just like the angel told you. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now when they were going, did they go and say or not? Still kind of doesn't prove it. We just know that the angel said go, and then Jesus met them, and Jesus said go, and then it says when they went, and then you don't hear anything more. Well, look with me the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. It finishes the story for us. Luke chapter 24, about these women. When Jesus comes and he meets with these two disciples going to Emmaus, in verse 22, they are answering Jesus and said, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, that's them, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They ended up going and saying. Sometimes when God gives us a message to go share with the believers, sometimes we feel like, oh, they're going to despise us. They're going to say, oh, we're a bunch of women. But a bunch of women, I'm not saying that as a derogatory thing, but I'm saying in those days, that's what they would look at. Like, it's just a bunch of women talking. We don't believe them. You don't believe me? We just read it in Luke 24. They said, oh, and certain women, they went and they said because of this, like, blah, 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 it's just women talking. They don't believe them. And sometimes we feel like, I'm just too small. I'm not, what am I going to do that believers are going to get excited? Maybe talk to a sinner, but talk to believers. Strong believers, disciples, and tell them and get them excited about Jesus. That's exactly what Paul told Timothy. He said, let no one despise your youth. Don't say I'm young. Don't say I'm small. But be an example to what? To those people that I want them not to despise you. To the believers, to the disciples. You go, you live the power of the resurrection. You speak the power of the resurrection. You live the power of the resurrection. They will be convinced. By your life, you're going to receive the right to be heard. Man, may God help us to live that life that we believe. I shared with you guys about those two guys, the movie star, and then the preacher that were on a plane. And they went over there, and then the preacher was just so envious of the movie star. He said, man, you guys, you say fiction, you act fiction, people cry and believe you, and they get affected by you, and they talk about it. We say the truth, and people look at what we say, and they don't believe the truth that we say. And then the movie star answered him and said, You guys say the truth as if it's fiction. You don't believe it, and your actions don't show that you believe it. That's why it's not effective. But we act fiction as if it's real. We act it as we believe it. And that's why people accept it. You know, they say some of the movie stars, before they get into a role, some roles, you know, you get these scrawny guys, they got to get buff, and they have to lift weights and stuff. They have to gain a certain amount of weight to be able to take this role, and they have to act in a certain way, so they live in the role. Sometimes they get into that role, and it's just, it drives their family crazy because they just can't get out of it. They get stuck in it. They start believing that they are that person. And that's why when they act it, we weep. We laugh. We talk about it. We say, wow. But when you and I share the truth about God, people don't believe us. Because we look at ourselves that we are small. And people in turn look at us as we are small. Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when they came out? And then he said, go and scout the land. He sent 12 people. And then they came back and they said, the land, excellent. God knows how to choose. It's a land that abounds with milk and honey. It's just a big problem there. What is it? He said that we were in our eyes like locusts, meaning very small. And we were in their eyes like locusts. Which one started first? Us. We saw ourselves too small to defeat them, and they looked at us and they said, yup, you're too small to be defeated. But two guys, they said, no, we can by the power of the Lord. And those are the only two that entered that were age 20 and older from all the men that came out of the land of Egypt, and that's Joshua and Caleb. Guys, you could be a blessing in the church. You could be a blessing to believers. You could be a blessing to the top-notch pastor, whatever that means. You could be a blessing to the most blessed person out there. Paul, when he speaks in his epistles, especially the last chapter of any epistle, you see his heart just so tender, and he says, these people, they did this, these people, they did, they're so important to me, they're a blessing to me, to Paul, the top guy. You and I could do the same to others. And that's the third message of the power of the resurrection, is live it. Live it. And be a blessing to the disciples. Be a blessing to the believers that are around you. After that, it says that he appeared to Mary Magdalene first. She's the first person, and she's the one that really loved the most. She's the one that went there first of all. She's the one that wouldn't leave the tomb when the rest left. She's the one that just loves Jesus. And because he who loves much, you know, is forgiven much. And he who loves little, is, remember that's what happened at the Simon, the Pharisees, when the sinner woman came from behind Jesus and kept weeping, weeping, weeping. And he's like, man, not one kiss you gave me. And she would not cease kissing my feet. And my feet are dirty. You didn't wash me. And she didn't use water. She used oil. She used expensive stuff. She anointed my head. That's why she loved much and she's forgiven much, but you have loved little. So that's why he appeared to her first. I wonder how much, if God was to come and look into our hearts, how much love will he see for him? Guys, he resurrected, the power of his resurrection. You know, when it comes to the resurrection, it always talks about power. I'll read you a quick verse in Philippians 3:10. It says, that I may know him. And what the power of his resurrection, not his resurrection, power. That's the most powerful part of God, is his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It is power. We need to live that power. We need to believe it. We need that power to transform us, not to act it out, not to pretend, not to, it's real. It's real. People can tell when we're faking it. People can tell when we're real, when we are empowered by his resurrection. And so that's the third thing that he wants of us, is to go out and encourage believers to go and live the power of the resurrection in their life also. The fourth thing that he wants to do, we go to verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Here we talk in Mary, she went and she told them and they didn't believe her. Then after that, the two disciples of Emmaus that are going there, he appeared to them, and it says in a different form. And that's really, speaks a lot to me, the word different form. Is that Christ knows how to approach each one of us very differently in an effective way. He comes to you differently than he would come to me, differently than he would come to the next person, because he wants to reveal the power of his resurrection in your life in that specific way that he that is effective. God is not a one-size-fits-all. God is so creative in how he deals with us in the power of his resurrection. So anyways, all these people didn't believe in that. Women, it's just two guys. They left us. They wouldn't stay here and lock themselves up and go all these locks, and they're afraid of the Jews. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? He says, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He says, guys, you shouldn't be proud of yourself for not believing. Because these guys have seen me. You've seen it in the way they talk about it. You should have believed them. I want you to know that's called unbelief, and that's called a hardened heart. And those two things break my heart. But the fourth thing that he really wants to do is rebuke us when we have unbelief, when our hearts gets calloused and gets hardened. Who are these? Unbelievers? No, these are the disciples. These are the top-notch guys that God wanted the women to be a blessing to them. They had unbelief and hardened heart. But the fifth thing that he wants to do is what? He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here, what is this one? It's different than what he told the women, right? What is this one? Evangelism. Tell everyone that you see, every creature, even if you see a donkey, preach to it. You know, to every creature. You know what this means, right? To every creature. Doesn't mean we're going to save a donkey and a monkey and a... No. But it means whatever of God's creation comes your way. What should be the consistent message coming out of you and me? Preaching the gospel. What's on your heart? What is it that is on your heart when you meet someone for the first time? Or you meet them on a regular basis at school, at work, in the street? Is it always like, well, I'm never going to run into them again. Like, let me not waste effort. Or do you feel, it doesn't mean that you have to like go and like be weird. But I'm talking about go and just in your heart, you know, someone, you go get a haircut. Is it like, all right, can you finish quick here, you know? Or is it that you sit there and you pray like, you know what? Lord, why don't you open a conversation? Lord, why don't you help me be an example? It's not like, you know, you see someone and they're cutting your hair, and you're like, you know, as they're going with the, if you're a guy, you know, they go with the little blade thing. Have you seen what, you know, don't do that. You're gonna, it's not going to look good, okay? So, unless you go short like me, then it won't matter. That's why I go short. They can't hurt me. So, it can't make me. In worst case scenario, you can always go bald. It'll grow back, I think. Go and share the word of God. Seriously. When was the last time? When was the last time you or I shared with someone about Jesus Christ? Well, you know, we don't have this like official thing where we go out and, seriously, that's lame. But we don't have a team or, are you serious? When was the last time? When was the last time you've lived the power of the resurrection? When was the last time you and I, it doesn't need something organized, and be afraid of some of them, or not all, some are amazing. But be afraid of someone that says, oh, we have passed out 1,000 tracts and we've talked to this many people and this billions came to know Christ. Okay, maybe, but it gives me a stomach ache sometimes because it sounds like we focus on the numbers. But I'm talking about, when was the last time you went? Whether organized or unorganized, they're both important. But I'm talking about you really sharing from your heart, because you have his heart toward people. And you shared with them about his salvation. That's the fifth thing that he wants to do in us, is to make us go everywhere and preach the word. Preach it with our life. Preach it with our mouth. With others. The sixth thing that he wants to do, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The sixth thing that he wants to do by the power of his resurrection is he wants to empower us for this journey as we go on. Now, I want you to be very careful with this. It says that some people look at it and they misread it, and they read it as, and all these signs will follow every believer. Never said that. It doesn't say that. And some other people say, no, this is stuff that you, if you look into the book of Acts, you're going to find all of them happened except when this stuff has ceased. I disagree with both. I don't think that's what the Word of God says. God can do these things, but it doesn't mean, let's go over them. And these will follow the believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. You find this a lot. You find a great example in Acts chapter 16. Paul went, and that demon-possessed woman, they kept saying, these are the men of God. And he looked at the spirit in her, and he cast out the demon, and she was no longer profitable for the people that she worked for. So that one, casting out demons. They will speak with new tongues. You find this in Acts chapter 2. They spoke in tongues. They will take up serpents, and you could find this in Acts 28, when Paul went and they were shipwrecked, and then he went and he was putting wood, and then this beast, and in Arabic it says the word serpent, came and held onto his arm, and then he went and whoosh, threw it back into the fire, and then they said, oh, this guy's going to blow up, and he's going to die, and they kept watching him, and nothing happened to him. They're like, oh, he must be God. And so that's serpents. And they will drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That one you can't find in the book of Acts clearly. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You find this when Peter and John went to the temple and they healed. Well, they actually spoke to him. But you find laying of hands and people being healed in other parts of the book of Acts. But what we have to be careful of is, you know, we have to also be careful of not testing God. For example, if you look at Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4, we have to be, people, man, want to go just to one area, the extremes. We need to be balanced in the way we follow God. Some people will challenge stuff, and they're like, you know, have you ever seen people like, they'll go and they'll have this thing like, they'll have this alcohol thing where they, and see who passes out the first. And so someone might go and say, give me some poison and I'll show you. Don't do that. You'll drop dead, okay? Where do I get this from? Well, you remember Jesus Christ, when Satan told him, hey, why don't you throw yourself? Because he said he will make his angels protect you. So why don't you throw yourself? What did Jesus do? Did he jump? Huh? He jumped? Oh, I thought he said, oh, I was like, wow. No, he didn't jump. I was like, wait, did I misread something here? He didn't. Why? Because it wasn't necessary. Now imagine someone came and while he's standing there and pushed him off, then it would have happened. The angels would have protected him. But see, it's we come and we want to do these weird challenges and things like that. No. He says here that, so don't go and say, oh, there's a snake. Let me see something. Don't do that. You know, I'll tell you what I do when I see a snake. I make sure I don't see a snake. And if I do, I'm as far away as I can be from the snake. But if the snake comes your way, nothing's going to happen. If you're in his will and he doesn't want anything to happen to you, you can't die a day early. You can't die a day early, but we just need to honor him and not be afraid. Not be afraid of snakes, not be afraid of poison. Honor him, and if he wants someone to give you poison to drink, give thanks to God and drink, and be like the three friends of Daniel. They said, you know what, we will not listen to you, O king, because you can't do nothing to us. Our God can save us. But if he doesn't, we still will die honoring him. I'd rather die honoring my Lord than live dishonoring him. May the Lord help us to receive the power of the resurrection. May we realize that he is powerful. He is so powerful he resurrected from the dead. May we come before him and say, Lord, you can take away any big stone in my life. You can roll away any problem in my life. Lord, I thank you that you don't just roll away problems in my life, but you also give me joy. You give me good news. You make me rejoice with you. You don't just make me rejoice, but you want to use me among
believers, Lord, also. You want me to encourage believers that they would be on fire for you. But you also want to use me among the sinners to go and preach out the gospel to everyone and go everywhere. But I thank you that you don't leave me alone, unable to go and go on this mission that you have for me. But you empower me. You come and you give me the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that I may be able to be sustained in this journey that I have with you, that I could live without fear. But I also thank you, Lord, that as I live, that when I fall back, you don't leave me, but you rebuke me for my unbelief and my calloused heart, and you work in it. You take me back and put this, like the potter did, you take this piece of clay and you put it back on the wheel and you continue to shape it so that you may use me and empower me. And look at these unbelieving, calloused people. What happened with them? Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of glory, that place of privilege. And then what happened to them? And they're like, well, he's gone. All right, now we could do whatever. No. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And then what? He empowered them by the power of the Holy Spirit and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. God doesn't want to fire you or me. But God desires to not have us take it easy with sin. God desires a confession. God desires to rebuke us. God desires to build our faith and make our hearts soft, not calloused. But then he desires to give us a message to the believers and unbelievers, to build up the believers, to bring the message of salvation to the unbelievers. And he's not going to leave you or me alone, but he wants to empower us. But he doesn't want it to stop there. He wanted to stop where it says, and they went out. He wants it to turn into action. Many times it stops at the level of desire, and that's it. And we just continue to come to church, and all we do is sit in our chairs and leave. But God wants to use us for his glory all the time. He has risen, and he has empowered us, and he has given us everything we need. He wants to take care of everything from A to Z in our lives that we may glorify him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. And oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of your resurrection. We thank you for there isn't a mountain, there isn't a large stone that's too large for you. But we thank you for, by your Spirit, they are all vanished. They've been rolled away already. All we got to do, it says, and they lifted up their eyes, and the stone was rolled away, for it was very large. Lord, we thank you for, as we need encouragement in our journey with you, you come with that power of resurrection, and you give us good news. You make us rejoice. You make us happy. You give us joy that is true and sincere from the inside. Lord, we thank you for, you want us to be a blessing to each other as believers. You want us to sharpen each other. You want us to make each other grow more and more in you. Lord, we thank you for you come and you rebuke us for our unbelief, for you don't settle for little stuff with us, but you want the best. And so you rebuke us for our unbelief and our hardened hearts, and you treat us. And you come and you recall us again to your ministry. You call us again into serving you, that we may go out to all the world and preach your word. Lord, we thank you that you empower us with what we need. Lord, help us that it doesn't stop at thought level or emotion level. But Lord, empower us to go into action, and that we would go, and that you would continue to empower us through our journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.